The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
My next two guests giving us all the best stuff we have on TV. It's Jennifer Gannon and Alison Healy. Welcome along. Tell me, Love Island, what is going on?
Well, there has been one of our Irish contestants, Maura Higgins, who we said sounded like someone that was on winning streak, but she's not, believe me, she's not.
She's
come
on
into the villa and has really, you know, shook the place up. And there's
that's
been
a good
a lot
thing,
of,
isn't it?
She's been basically the only entertaining thing in the whole series so far because they've been very, very dull. But with that responsibility always comes a cautionary tale. And there's been a lot of talk and Ofcom complaints. I think there was about, 800 Ofcom complaints about Maura's behaviour towards Tommy Fury, who's Tyson Fury's little brother.
What offensive act did she commit?
She tried to kiss him. And
on
a lot
Love
of
Island.
People were saying that this is double standards. And if a man was doing that to a woman, that, you know, everybody would be very upset. But I think the whole, let's get this straight. You know, Maura's advances towards, you know, Tommy were not unwelcomed. And he had this whole thing where his head was spinning like Reagan from The Exorcist about every woman that entered into the villa.
Well, he was encouraging her at one point.
Yeah, it's very physical, tactile behaviour between the two of them. And, you know, I mean, granted, I don't think she should have gone in for the kiss because he did say he didn't want to kiss anyone at that point. But at the same time, the only person that was truly upset by the whole event was Molly May.
His other love interest.
And I'm not saying that men can't be the victim of unwanted attention, but I do think this incident has been just blown out of proportion completely on social media.
What do you say, Alison?
You know, I agree about the social media part of it. Yes, she did kiss him. He didn't want to
be predatory,
kissed.
Though?
Well, first of all, we need to talk about size. She's tiny and he's not. And I think that when you're talking about threatening behaviour, that does play a huge part in it. And I think this predatory angle was overblown. And I think that the seas of social media change so instantly. Last week, everybody was saying, oh, she's exactly the energy we need. The show was boring. Get her, you know, get more out was all you could hear.
Is this peak political correct wokeness?
No, it's not. I think somebody said, oh, look at this. This is disgraceful behaviour. Got 1,000 likes. And then the masses ran over there to where the likes are, and it's affecting
and also,
public perspective.
I think with Love Island, there is a problem with the notion of women being seen as sexually upfront as the men. And anytime anyone on the show, like Maura, like Olivia 2 years before, or like Megan last year, anytime they rock up to the villa and they challenge this perception, the perceived notion of a woman who should be sexually passive, it gets people's backs up. So when Maura came in and started talking about her fanny flutters and everything else that she was getting over Tommy, they were upset. People were, you know, outraged, which I think is ridiculous. They're saying that they shouldn't be as sexually voracious as the men in the villa, and I think that's ridiculous as well.
But it's like that old adage that, you know, if you've got a key that opens any door, it's a master key. If you have a lock that's opened by any key, it's just a crap lock, and that people view men and women in that way.
Well, I mean, and a lot of people that watch Love Island think like that, which is bizarre. But I do think that the male counterparts, you know, would get away with enough as it is. I mean, for God's sake, last year we had the whole do-bit society where they would literally explain, all the lads would sit around explaining what level, what base they got to with what girl, every day. So I think, you know, these double standards are what plays into Love Island. And the thing about it is, this year especially, they're all very conscious that it is a game show. And there doesn't seem to be as much. You could see with Maura, she wants to be there till the end, no matter what. And she will play off every, you know, idiot that she can just to get there and get that money. And I think that's you're seeing it more and more this season, is it's less about the crack, it's less fun, and it's more about, you know, ambition to try and get there to the end.
Tom in Galway says, double standards, fanny flutters is disgusting. But why don't we...
but they happen.
Why don't
they
we
might
hear
have
the
not
clip?
Happen about you, Tom, but they happen.
Let's hear the Maura clip before we move on.
I am on the sofa tonight because, you know, I feel like if I jumped in bed with Molly, it'd give her false hope or whatever. And if I jumped in the day bed with Maura, it'd give her false hope. I just don't want anything like that.
Aw, you're lonely. You don't want a kiss? Just a peck?
No. Give me on the cheek. Oh.
Yeah, you do.
So a big, strong boxer was laid down by quivering this mess tiny of, yeah.
I just don't think that it's representative of their entire interaction within 24 hours. So you're getting a 45 minute condensed, and even in that 45 minutes, you're getting maybe that was what, a minute long. So you know, you're only getting a minute of a heavily edited relationship between two people, and I think that's where this problem originates and lies, because these people have sold, the contestants in this game show have sold their persona and who they are for the chance of £50,000. And if you sell that and that's up for sale, and you're putting your faith as who you're going to be represented to in front of millions of viewers who have an appetite to tear down what they build up, you're asking for trouble, because you're going to say to an editor who's sitting there, a video editor who has a deadline and who's looking for the juiciest possible bit, and he doesn't have it, he'll clip it together whatever way he can to get those viewers, to get the press coverage.
And that's all reality TV. They have to follow a storyline, because has it gone too far though? Because get good TV.
Yeah.
We've got the situation with Joe Garrett, and he's being taken to a safe house. What do you make of that?
Well, they said that, there's rumours that he has and the rumours that he hasn't, but I think it's just one of those things where they keep the past contestants in isolation before they get to talk to the press, which is more... The thing about Joe and Lucy is the fact that it looked... We can't say what it was. As you said, it's all in the edit. The only people that we really should be going by are the two themselves, Lucy and Joe. Mm-hmm. But it looked from an outsider, the way that they had it edited, that Joe was very possessive of somebody that he had only known for like less than a week, which seemed intimidating. And you could see, how upset Lucy was. And she was upset about this whole issue that it felt like she couldn't be friends with any of the other male contestants. But at the same time, if you look at Love Island as a concept, it's a bizarre show that pushes people into these unnatural couples.
I think calling it a reality show is almost an insult to reality.
Makes a game.
Like, it's not a reality show.
It's making a game of intimacy, basically. And that's where, the line kind of blurs, because you're getting emotionally involved and people are like, oh, I can't believe you did that to me. And it's like, you only knew them for 48 hours. Why are you being so possessive? The line blurs between your emotional
that's a really good point.
The actual show.
Time frames, realistic time frames within real relationships have been sped up and they're not realistic in any way. And I think another good point to make is that with the safe houses and where he is at the moment and what producers are telling you, the editing and the projection of what's real is going on after filming. So God knows where he is. He is where the biggest headline says he should be. And you should be watching it with a raised eyebrow. And those feigning absolute disgust and shock and horror know exactly what they're buying into. And so do Love Island producers.
The texters are weighing in on you, ladies. I've got to let you know. Everyone is saying double standards, double standards. We have one coming in, it says, it sounds like the female panelists have taken little notice of the Irish advertisement campaign to stamp out sexual assault, which includes unwanted touching or approaches.
Well, okay, but it wasn't unwanted. Can we stop this conversation immediately,
and
please?
If they were watching the show, they would see that, actually Tommy showed Maura how much he enjoyed her physical attention at some point.
In the night before, there was a preamble of have a look under the covers there, love, and see what you're doing,
to me.
And so it wasn't unwanted, it wasn't unwarranted, and that person should watch Love Island before they weigh in.
The point is that the sad thing about Love Island at the moment, I do think, is that nobody really looks like they're having any fun whatsoever. That's the sad thing. If you look at Yuandi...
Even the people watching it.
Yeah, Yuandi and Danny, they're not... Like, they basically had, 10 minutes of silence there last night, and there was just... You could literally hear the crickets in the background. Yeah. And that's what I worry about, because people are so intent on these intense relationships. There's been a lot of crying, and it's only week two. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, what is the point of all this? It's just too... Maybe it's too intense and the fun is gone from it now, because they're being watched so closely, observed so closely.
And nightly ratings as well.
And
nightly
because
ratings.
They know it's more of a game than anything. Nobody's there to find love or even have the crack anymore, I don't think.
Although Joe did say he'd wait for her on the outside, and that's a lovely sentiment.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll
I'll
see.
Wait for you.
She won't wait for him. I'm telling you that much.
Let's move on. Jeremy Kyle. Jeremy Kyle's show was taken off the air a while back, and now... Jeremy Kyle has turned down a request to appear before MPs after a guest's death. What do you make of that? Is that the right choice?
Well, no, because his name is on the shop door, so he has to be culpable for everything that goes on inside the shop. And I'm sure he's had legal advice to not get involved in this committee hearing about the inquiry into the death of a guest. But this is a wider conversation about the Jeremy Kyle show in general and the failure of duty of care. And we talk about Love Island's duty of care this year and the steps that they've taken to make sure that they can be seen at least to do the best for their contestants who they are making millions off every year. And the same can't be said for Jeremy Kyle. And his name was above the shop door. He wasn't ignorant to the shady dealings. Dispatches did a brilliant piece on the show.
We have a clip of that, actually. Yeah. Can we play that clip?
This staffer still works in the industry. Their words are spoken by an actor.
The guests were treated like cattle. Behind the scenes, they created a kind of maze. So if the guests run off the stage, it's a controlled environment. The cameraman knows where to go, but the guests won't be able to find their way out because it all looks the same.
Right, what room is he in? Where is he? I'm going to come to this show and find a result and then run off the stage. It's ridiculous. What's the matter?
It's like trapping a hamster in a maze and you then follow them. And before you know it, Jeremy is shouting at you and you cover your face and cry.
It really was great. In 2012, ITV commissioned this backstage special, which gave viewers a tantalising peek behind the scenes. Its producer, who requested we disguise him, was shocked by the practices he saw.
When I was filming backstage in the corridor, I would see cans of lager mainly going backwards and forwards, either being passed between researchers and heading to the dressing rooms or coming through on trays. And I asked who it was going to, and they said it was going to the contributors who were appearing on the show. And I asked why, because I'd never seen alcohol being distributed in this manner on a TV production. And I was told that the alcohol was for medicinal purposes, that some of the contributors were alcoholics, and that the show was allowed to give alcoholics medicinal alcohol in order to keep them topped up to, you know, for medicinal purposes, to help them.
What do you make of that, Jennifer?
I mean, I think the irony is with this whole situation that Jeremy Kyle spends so much of his time, so much of the show, asking people to stand up and take care of their responsibilities, etc., and, you know, not to run away from them. And the very thing that he has been asked to do, he's running away from it. Like, he's embarrassed about it. And, you know, he's been doing that show for so long and putting so many people through the mill, very vulnerable people, and he won't actually face up to the consequences of his actions. And I think it's, you know, really cowardly. And unless people do that and the production team talk about it and have this conversation, these abuses, you know, could generally, you know, still happen, because they want to just disregard them completely, and they treat the people like they're less than human.
Yeah, it's the poverty porn element of it. And he would look at the camera with an eyebrow raised, kind of saying, "God, look,
aren't they disgusting?
Look, aren't their problems absolutely horrific?" And you could, you know, you were given the idea that they were there for the free DNA testing or the free lie detector tests, but that when a guest would get upset, they had purposely built the set into a maze so that they couldn't escape, but the cameraman would know the route of the maze and how to capture them at their most vulnerable. And that's what this show did. It preyed on people at their most vulnerable, who didn't possibly have the emotional skills to process and deal what was happening to them. And there was an absolute failure of duty of care. And the fact that, you know, I think Kyle's representative said that we'd have to see if a date would work and gave this really roundabout answer. And now, ironically, he's the man on the run.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, shows like that, they tap into a certain appetite for misery. Would you not agree? There's like, people want sometimes to see that kind of thing. And we actually see in a different sense, instead of talk shows or game shows, that the same kind of sentiment, it's trickling over into documentaries. Because let's have a talk about the show called Chernobyl. Is Feel Bad TV, is that...
I think this is a completely different scenario to Jeremy Kyle in the way that, you know...
Not the same, but do you think, except that it's in the same
like
emotional
that
sphere?
I think it's just the true life dramas like Chernobyl or like Ava DuVernay's When They See Us, as well as something like, say, the dystopian nightmare that Years and Years presented, or even The Handmaid's Tale. There's something in them that... whether they're based on a true story or not, they seem like this is giving people either a glimpse of like the near future or, you know, what, or the, you know, recent past. And audience are responding because it feels like they want to have some handle on the chaos of the present. And, you know, rolling news, everything changes so rapidly and it's hard to keep track of any kind of news stories. And dramas that focus really tightly on a, one subject, something like Chernobyl or, you know, When They See Us, they give the viewers the opportunity to do a really deep dive into history. And I said before, you can send them, you know, it sends you down internet rabbit holes to discover more. And they have this modern context to them. If you look at Chernobyl, it's given audiences something to chew on, to think about with regards to government cover-ups and the harrowing consequences of an accident like this. And even something with When They See Us, I think it's really important because it highlights Donald Trump's racist behaviour, where he took an ad out in a newspaper to condemn these men that hadn't been yet charged and said, you know, they were A, responsible for the crime, and B, that the death penalty should be brought back. And if you look at this, there's a clear thread from Donald Trump back then to Donald Trump today and his racist rhetoric. And I think that's really important. It's really important for audiences to see that, educate themselves, and to get this purpose to have, you know, a shape on history. And I think the both of those, you know, shows are doing a really good service. Yeah.
What do you think of Feel Bad TV, Alison?
Well, I think it's a keyhole maybe into the horror of humanity. And as Jen said, it's not so recent past. And when people look at it now, we can see it with Making a Murderer. There's actual real life repercussions now that they can watch a season or a series or a docuseries, and the mass movement of people, kind of this fresh outcry and new perspective on it. And there's actual real time results in that the Central Park Five people that were involved in that case, there's been resignations from top posts, and yeah, like the Donald Trump, it's tying it back to a real and a here and a now. And I think that while people like to switch off and zone out and enjoy the quotation marks frivolous, that people enjoy deep diving into real stories from all over, and to get a taste of what's going on outside your front door. And I think you can see that with true crime podcasts and how massive their listenerships are. And we can see it now as well in longer series and binge-worthy series on Netflix. You can become fully submersed in these news cycle stories with a bigger, the life of O.J. Simpson was another one, that you can remember it when it happened and then submerse yourself in it and see it from all angles and get an extra flavour of what was going on. And that's the opposite side of the coin to Love Island. And I think they're just as valid and important as each other.
Let me hear about your picks of the week. What have you got for us?
Well, mine is a massive one. It is Catch 22, which starts tomorrow on Channel 4 at 9 o'clock, and it's George Clooney's adaptation of the iconic Joseph Heller novel. And it's starring heartthrob Christopher Abbott, who was in Charlie in Girls. So he is actually going, it's really weird because
double standard, Jen.
Total,
it was a great book,
standard,
by the way. The book has to be better than the show.
Yeah, no, obviously. I mean, Catch-22 is such a slippery narrative. It's hard to capture on film, and they tried before, but I think this version, because of the way audiences are now more savvy, the way that they look at things, I think it'll actually be, it's a better representation of it. I mean, for anybody who doesn't know the story, it's about Yazarian. He's the US Air Force bombardier in World War II. And he's furious about the fact that, you know, it's basically the whole thing is war is farcical. And it's the fact that, you know, he has all these people chasing him as an enemy and they don't know who he is. He's just an individual. And it's about, you know, the army as, when you're trying to, like, their subscription.
The famous
war
line was that he wanted to get out on a Section 8, which
exactly
meant he was crazy. And they said, how do you know you're crazy? Only a sane person could know that. So he was in this eternal loop.
It's a bureaucratic rule, and it's ridiculous. And that's basically what the show is trying to show. It's the like ridiculousness of war. And it's really interesting. And Hugh Laurie's going to be in it as well. And it I think it's one to watch, definitely.
Alison, what's your pick of the week?
Well, speaking of Chernobyl there, it's the real Chernobyl. It's the documentary, actually, which... So it's following the success of the HBO miniseries. Sky News got a documentary crew over there. And they've gone to meet some of the real people who were caught up in the disaster. So it aired last night on Sky Atlantic and can be watched back now. It uses genuine footage and real life interviews, and you know, there's been heaps of praise for it, so it's definitely worth a watch.
Brilliant, thanks again. That's Jennifer Gannon and Alison Healy joining us for our weekly TV slot.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.